This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We'll compare America's Democrats to the worst regimes on the planet and the worst regimes historically here in a moment. I forgot to tell you why I had to cab it to work today. Now, as a dude, ladies, I want to explain this to you. As a dude, you want to be able to fix things yourself. And there is this emasculating feeling when you can't or if someone else does it for you. For instance, Ob is a very hands-on, do-it-yourself. She's one of these rabid hard workers who has a hard time sitting around. So if she has a picture she wants hung up or she orders a shelf or something she wants assembled, I'll tell her, I'll do it. Just wait till I get home. No. I got it. And I've had to explain, but I want to do it. Makes me feel good to do it. You know, it's just dudes want to be able to do stuff. Something breaks. I want to know how to fix it and be able to fix it. And I can fix some things, other things I can't. Today, I took Luke to school. James was already at practice. I took Luke to school today, drove home, and as I closed the garage door, you know the garage door obviously makes a sound when it closes all the way. It's I won't say a bang, but it's a sound. I go in as the garage door is closing, only this was an elevated volume, more than the normal sound. It was loud. It was a bang. It was a pop. Oh, gosh. Okay. And it was so loud that I thought to myself, I better go make sure it didn't close on something or something. It was weird. And I went out there, looked around, was all good to go. Garage door looks good to go. No big deal. Ob, a couple hours later, is taken off to go volunteer at the church. And she comes running back inside and she says, the garage door won't work. Okay, well, I've worked on some garage doors in my time. I know what I'm doing. Go out there, press the button just to verify. Yeah, it wasn't working. Okay, so not the end of the world. Just to get her out of the garage, I know you just go up and you yank the string down to unlock it off of the spring, and then you can just manually grab it and lift it up. That's how garage doors are supposed to work. So I walk up, pop the string down. Door won't budge. Door won't budge at all. And now she's sitting there, and now she starts to offer suggestions. Well, maybe you should do that. I'm like, I know what I'm doing, woman. Let me go. And I'm completely stumped. Completely stumped. So stumped that she had to go borrow a car from my mom because both of our cars are in the garage, and I can't get it open under any circumstances. I had to call a garage repairman today who showed up when I was gone, and I had to take a taxi to work. Now, it does make me feel better that there was no way I was going to be able to diagnose and figure out what was wrong. A spring flat out broke inside of the mechanism. That was the pop. It was a spring breaking. But you know how embarrassing it was to have to come back in and tell her, you need to go get mom's car. I can't fix it. It's a dark moment. What, Chris? Yes, it's like I was a teenager again. It felt like I was going in to tell my dad something like that, because my dad would just give you a task and you don't return until it's done. But occasionally you can't do it. Dad, I I couldn't figure it out. What? What's that mean? Then why are you standing here? Oh, a dark moment. A dark moment. Speaking of dark, UN committee is alarmed by North Korea's experiments on the disabled. Credible, quote, credible reports indicate that medical and scientific experiments are conducted on persons with psychosocial disabilities and or intellectual disabilities. The committee is deeply concerned about credible reports of infanticide of children with disabilities, including accounts of killing. So that's horrible, right? Doing experiments on disabled people? Slaughtering babies? Terrible. North Korea is a terrible, evil place. I don't deny that. But how is that in any way different from the Democrat Party? I'm asking. You know these child trannies? Do you know how many of them have autism? A large percentage. It's something that more people are researching and talking about now. We're talking about kids who need some help, right? They need some help. If you're autistic, depending on how extreme the case is, you need help. You need assistance, different schools, different things like that. And that's fine. But instead of getting them help, they're twisting their minds up and then medically mutilating them. American Democrats not only all do it, they all loudly say it's the right thing to do. Are the North Korean communists more evil than an American Democrat? I don't know how you could claim that. Speaking of slaughtering babies, this took place today during the hearing. This is Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat.
I was the first member of Congress to hold a hearing on this drug, which now has served more than 7.5 million women. And of course, it is used for reproductive health and medication abortion.
That's a United States senator bragging about the abortion drug. By the way, 11%. That is the reported number of women who either die or have severe health complications after taking a pill that exterminates their baby. This senator is bragging about 7.5 million doses. He is not ashamed. He's not doing it in a back alley. He's not doing it behind somebody's back on the Senate floor. He is openly bragging about the slaughter of 7.5 million babies.
I was the first member of Congress to hold a hearing on this drug, which now has served more than 7.5 million women. And of course, it is used for reproductive health and medication abortion.
Is North Korea worse than that? You know, we like to point fingers, and understandably so, towards evil regimes like North Korea. And we like to point out all the evil things they do. You do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. The modern Democrat Party in America is as evil as any entity on the planet. Openly evil. And that's a tough pill to swallow. I'm not gonna stay on it, I know, but that's reality. Mutilation of the disabled. How many Democrats have you seen tell us that Down syndrome babies should be exterminated? The abortion industry and the America's Democrat Party, they loudly scream about that. Down syndrome people are the most wonderful frigging people you will ever meet in your entire life. And American Democrats treat them like they're a freaking disease. Openly. Hey, we should just determine, let's figure it out, and then we'll just kill them before they're born. Problem solved, baby. Kim Jong-un is worse than that? Is he? I'm not so sure about that. Let's do an email. Jesse, I'm no fan of ultra-processed fast food, but I enjoy hearing youngsters tout the fast food garbage you consume on a regular basis. What's your take on Burger King's barbecue brisket Whopper? I have class. Like, I have a level of sophistication that many people like Chris don't have. I don't eat Burger King. I would never lower myself to eating Burger King. I will eat McDonald's or Jack in the Box or Taco Bell, but Burger King is for low class people who don't have any taste. It's disgusting, Chris. Are you a Burger King man? See, even Jewish producer Chris is with me. Even Jewish, I didn't mean to say even, Chris. That was insulting, but it wasn't meant to be insulting. It was just meant to say that you have terrible taste. That's what? I'm being nice. It was just meant to say that your taste is bad. That's all. Let's talk about comparing everything to World War III. But before we talk about that, let's have a talk about drug traffickers, cartels, corruption, and our politicians being bought. Because I'm suspicious of one in particular, and I'll name his name in a moment. Before we name his name, let's talk about something that's drug-free. That's Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a miracle. I am convinced it is miraculous. It is a supplement, 100% drug-free supplement. Doctors developed it, but no drugs. It's a formula of natural ingredients. So whenever something hurts on you, I'm talking about the chronic pain in your wrist or your neck or your knee or your foot or wherever. When something hurts, that's inflammation. Your body is trying but failing to fight the inflammation. That's the source of it. Relief Factor is the support your body needs. Stop taking things to mask it. That's horrible for you. Let Relief Factor change your life. 3 weeks. I'm not saying in 3 years, hopefully you'll be better. 3 weeks. If you don't like it, if you don't feel better, don't order anymore. They'll sell you 3 weeks of it for $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Don't forget to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask me anything. So I have a suspicion. I'm not making an accusation, but a suspicion. Sometimes people, politicians, get a little too loud about certain subjects. And it makes me suspicious that they are corrupt, blackmailed, bribed in some way. One of the ones that comes to mind, you remember, I announced my suspicion on this show, was former congressman from Colorado, Ken Buck. Well, the FBI was busy assaulting the liberties of every American, including Donald Trump, violating every law, doing the most horrible things in the world. They sat in front of Ken Buck in the House of Representatives, and he said this:
I want to thank you for leading an agency, as you mentioned in your opening statement, that protects Americans from foreign terrorists, that an agency that protects Americans from spies from China and Russia, and cybercrime and public corruption and organized crime and drug cartels and human traffickers and white-collar criminals. And I want to thank you and the FBI for protecting law-abiding Americans from the evil that exists all around us. And frankly, I am not in favor of defunding the FBI, nor am I in favor of splitting up the FBI, nor am I in favor of using the Holman rule for the FBI director.
It's one thing to say, I don't want to defund the FBI. It's another to take it that far, right? It made me suspicious. I'll always believe, I have no evidence of this, I'm not making an accusation, I'll always believe that Ken Buck was compromised in some way. It was just too much. It was too much. Now, let's talk about drug cartels. How do they operate in Mexico as it pertains to politicians? They bribe them. Well, the ones they don't kill, they pay them. This takes place all over Latin America. Politicians are bribed to do illegal things. Everyone knows this. It's not breaking news. Everyone gets it. Bribe this, bribe that, bribe this. Now, let me ask you something. Do you believe that that only happens in Mexico with the cartels? The cartels make their money where? Where do they make it? Here. Do you think they've bribed our politician? And I bring this up because remember that Senator Van Hollen, Chris Van Hollen? Remember, he's the guy that flew down and had a margarita with the guy we deported to El Salvador? You know, okay. He went to the news today, MSNBC, after we nuked that boatload of narco terrorists from Venezuela. He went on MSNBC and said this.
What this was an extrajudicial killing, pure and simple. It was illegal. As you said, we only have the Trump administration's word to take for who was on that boat. But even if they were right, we're not in a war with Venezuela. We're not in a conflict with Venezuela. And as you also know, our own intelligence agencies earlier concluded that there's no kind of collusion between the Venezuelan government regime, Maduro, and these drug gangs. So this was illegal on many counts.
There's no collusion between the Venezuelan government and the cartels? You've heard how many national security experts on this show say the Venezuelan government is a cartel. In fact, Brandon Darby is coming up in like 30 seconds, our resident cartel expert. I'm going to flat out ask him about the Venezuelan government and drug trafficking. But no matter what you think, maybe you're against the strike on the boat, whatever, but no matter what you think, the Venezuelan government either being a cartel or being in bed with the cartels is just known. That's one of those facts. So again, when I hear this, I'll let it all play again. There's being a standard Democrat, everything Trump does is bad, and then there's doing the Ken Buck, taking it a little too far thing. It makes Jesse's suspicious antennas start firing off in a variety of different ways.
What this was an extrajudicial killing, pure and simple. It was illegal. As you said, we only have the Trump administration's word to take for who was on that boat. But even if they were right, we're not in a war with Venezuela. We're not in a conflict with Venezuela. And as you also know, our own intelligence agencies earlier concluded that there's no kind of collusion between the Venezuelan government regime, Maduro, and these drug gangs. So this was illegal.
That's odd, isn't it? Unless, of course, there's an explanation for it. Remember the judges in recent days who've been busted doing terrible things? The one judge helping the illegal escape out the back? We all just assume it's because she's a filthy, dirty communist. Maybe it's something more. Remember the judge in New Mexico? There were social media pictures of the illegal living with him and his wife in his home. We all just assumed he's a dirty, illegal immigrant-loving judge, but what if there's something more? Do we believe cartel money can't reach the United States Senate? I hear audio bits like that. Call me suspicious. I'll ask Brandon Darby about that, too. Next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Remember to get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in for tomorrow, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And joining me now, my friend, he does the Cartel Chronicles for Breitbart, educating us on all the ugliness of the narco trade, Brandon Darby. Brandon, why are we nuking boats coming from Venezuela?
Well, we're nuking them because they're part of a criminal enterprise, a transnational criminal enterprise, criminal enterprises that are now considered to be foreign terror organizations. And they're bringing fentanyl and cocaine and heroin into our country. And while they're doing so, they're fueling paramilitary groups that are challenging legitimate elected governments around the world, and we are stepping it up against them. We are. I'm going to tell you, Trump. You know, he had promised, and his administration promised me before his first term that they would go to war on Mexican cartels and go to war on drug cartels, and then they didn't that first term, and I was very disappointed. And I'm going to tell you, they actually are. I think at the point that there's, you know, I suppose a missile, you know, I guess that's what it would be, whether from a drone or a helicopter, that blew up a boat full of drugs and smugglers. I think that, you know, they can honestly say now that they are going to war with drug cartels.
Brandon, I'm going to ask some really, really stupid questions, but I don't know these details and I want to know these details. Why are they on a boat? Now, I asked that question for this reason. From my understanding, the narco trafficking, you know, into Miami and things like that died when we started cracking down on it. And that's part of the reason it funnels up through Mexico now. Why are a bunch of Venezuelans cruising in the open ocean on a boat?
Well, okay, so they still have to get the drugs from South America. So in this, if the U.S. government is correct, and I believe they are, the Maduro regime in Venezuela is in fact a narco trafficking organization in itself, right? It is in itself a cartel, a drug cartel. So what they're doing is they're getting cocaine from South America and they're trying to get it into Mexico. Possibly they're trying to get it, you know, maybe it's going to Europe, maybe it's going elsewhere, but probably what happens is it ends up going into Cancun or it ends up going somewhere along the eastern coast of Mexico and then ultimately into the United States. So probably it's an intermediary step between coca production, cocaine production, and a Mexican cartel.
Okay, well, that leads me to another detail. Cancun, I was under the impression, you've never told me this, so this is just my own stupid impression. I was under the impression that because tourism is so big from Mexico, the tourist hotspots are kind of kept clean of all this in order to encourage Ma and Pa to bring the kids down there and drop $20 a pop on Mai Tais. Is that not the case?
Not the case. Half the case. So they're generally kept clean from violence. Right, they're generally kept clean from violence. That's very visible violence. They're not always kept clean from violence, but generally they are kept clean from violence. But they are not kept clean from drug smuggling or migrant smuggling, for that matter. A lot of over the last several years, a lot of the people who are coming into Texas, specifically through a state called Coahuila, were people who were smuggled into Mexico. Oftentimes, you know, a lot of them, the ones that I got to interview, came from through Cancun and through that area. It is absolutely like not true. Like a lot of older Americans who go, you know, to the border and they cross over and they go to pharmacies and they're like, it's safe. Mexico's safe. No. Those pharmacies are either owned by cartels or those pharmacies are paying pesos. They're paying protection money to cartels so that they have peace. So you are, in fact, if you go to Mexico to get your medication, you are, and that's fine if you feel the need to do that. I understand that medications are expensive in the U.S. However, if you're one of those people that doesn't let your wife wear a diamond because you think it's a blood diamond and you don't want to support that, well, then you are, in fact, supporting horrible, heinous things when you go into Mexico and buy medications. You're supporting heinous things when you buy marijuana from Mexico. You're supporting heinous things when you buy any avocados. Those are blood avocados, if we're going to use that same logic of blood diamonds. Me personally, I would buy a diamond for a woman, so it's not, I don't get so caught up in that. But for the people who do, you're being a big fat hypocrite if you go into Mexico and do that. You're being a big fat hypocrite if you go vacation in Cancun or Acapulco or Rocky Point, because the simple fact of the matter is those places are peaceful because something is either owned by a Mexican cartel and you're fueling them, or they are paying protection money to a Mexican cartel.
That's why I don't buy avocados. I mean, the main reason is because they're disgusting, but that's also a second reason why I don't buy them. Speaking with Brandon Darby of Breitbart's Cartel Chronicles. Okay, Brandon, so riddle me this. If we are going to war with the drug cartels, and Venezuela's part of this, are all cartels linked in with Mexico now? Is everything run through Mexico? There's no other way to get anything into the country. Mexico commands all of it?
No, Mexico doesn't command all of it, but it commands most of it. It commands most of it globally, actually. It isn't even Asian dealers and Asian producers generally go through Mexican cartels. Most of the fentanyl that comes into the U.S. is probably coming across ports of entry at our southern border, but for many years and still to this day, a lot of it comes through parcel from Canada, right? Why does it come through Canada? It comes through Canada because Chinese trafficking organizations, most of these trafficking organizations, just like in Colombia, realized a long time ago, they're like, hey, we don't want to directly challenge the United States, so let's just give it to these guys who are willing to do it and in Mexico and let them do it, right? We'll just sell it to them. We'll make less money, but we'll have a lot less loss, you know, of product getting interdicted, and we'll do that. So there's all types of trafficking organizations and criminal groups who could get their hands on 11 kilos or 100 kilos of cocaine and try to ship them, try to get them through, right, some way or another. Some of them use submarines or things that I don't know if it's fair to call them submarines. We call them submarines, but they're boats that they're technically submarines, but they stay just under the surface. Some of them use pangas and these fishing boats. Some of them use aircraft. It's a lot more difficult to do that now. Some of them use human mules and have, you know, girls swallow balloons full of drugs. I mean, there's all types of ways that these criminal groups are trying to get stuff in. And if a Colombian group produces, you know, if they produce 100 pounds of cocaine and they're giving 80 pounds to a Mexican cartel, they still have 20 pounds that they're willing to sell to other criminal groups who are trying to make some money. So they're not the only ones, but they are, you know, a lot of the drugs that are now in Europe are from go through Mexican cartels. A lot of the criminal groups in Italy who are participating in that are getting their drugs from Mexican cartels. Most of the precursors for fentanyl that come from China ultimately go through Mexican cartels. Even the ones that go through Canada are going through Mexican cartels. So we take out Mexican cartels, we take out a big chunk of the problem. And even then, it's not really all Mexican cartels, right? Like right now, there's really only one major cartel that holds, you know, a complete stranglehold of power on the Mexican central federal government, and that's Cartel Jalisco, this guy El Mencho. He has a stranglehold on the Mexican government. The Gulf Cartel, we've decapitated them so many times. They're so fractionalized and factionalized that, you know, they have some power regionally, but they don't have major federal power anymore like this one particular cartel does. Not that long ago, it was the Sinaloa Federation that had that power. Now they're starting to really wane, and they're getting destroyed. But that's largely because Mexico has duped the Trump administration into helping take out El Mencho's rivals under the name of taking out cartels. Right? That's what's going on. As we're not going after El Mencho in any significant way, Mexico is protecting him, like outright protecting him. And I can justify that if you need me to.
I actually do want you to justify that further. We have to go to break really quickly, but I do want you to justify that further. And then I'm going to ask you about bought and paid for politicians, if that's okay. I'll bring you back again real quick, if that's all right.
Perfect.
Okay. We'll be right back with more Brandon Darby giving us the lay of the land. I'm always so much smarter. I never give him any credit, too. I go tell all my friends all this information, and I never say where I heard it. Remember, always take credit for other people's work. And remember to get your stuff digitized by Legacy Box. Those pictures. What is the most precious picture you have in the house? What's the most precious picture on the wall? Is it your husband, your wife, your grandpa, child? One fire tonight, it's gone. Forever. A flood, it's gone. Forever. Time will destroy it forever. You digitize it with Legacy Box. They'll do it by hand. Not some big machine. Digitize it with Legacy Box, and you have it forever. And so do your grandkids. Stop kicking the can down the road and get it done. At least get the box. Then you can slowly start filling it up. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Back with Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles, Breitbart. Brandon, go ahead and pick up where you left off. You were breaking down all of the cartel disaster for us.
Right, right. So basically, when it comes to El Mincho, and we've verified this and documented it, reported it, we're not getting sued over it, right? We could get sued over it, and we're not, because we keep reporting it ad nauseum. The current Secretary of Defense in Mexico is directly tied to El Mincho. They are compadres. They are friends. They talk frequently, and they are compadres. What just happened, and I haven't even written about it yet, but I will talk about it on your show. Within the last week, El Mincho went in a vehicle, right? An armored vehicle, but he went in a vehicle with, I think he had two other people with him, two bodyguards, and he traveled to a state called Guanajuato, and a group of military persons in Mexico, a very small group, who really answers to a different person in the chain of command, went after him, and they were trying to apprehend him. And when they tried to apprehend him, the army showed up, the Mexican army showed up, right? And they arrested people from this team and let El Mincho go. Oh. How is that possible, Jesse? How is that possible? Oh. You know how that's possible. I know how that's possible. And it's because El Mincho has that relationship with the Secretary of Defense, and he pays untold billions of dollars in bribes across Mexico. That's how that is possible. And that just happened. Have not even written about it yet.
Oh.
But that happened. So that is what I'm talking about. Every time the U.S. tries to go after this guy, they there's this whole process. They, you know, inform the right people in Mexico, and then somehow El Mincho gets tipped off, right? How does that happen at the highest levels? How is this happening? It's happening because he owns them. That's how it works. That's how it's historically worked. There's always been at least one cartel boss who owns Mexico. We can go back historically. We can go back for the last 40 years, really, and go, it actually longer than that, but especially 40 years. And we can go, okay, first we look back historically and go, okay, it's verifiable that this president, and this president were taking money and tied to these drug cartels. The U.S. has indicted untold numbers of senior Mexican officials after the fact, once they could prove that they were taking money from drug cartels. And here we are in modern day, and everyone says, well, maybe that's not happening. No, absolutely still happening. And the evidence is right in our face all the time. And so what we've done is Mexico said, okay, we'll go after these cartels. Let us help you. And they're just going after the rivals of the guy who's paying for them, right? It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that is why the Trump administration steps back in and says, you know what? We're going to go with more tariffs. And Mexico's like, what are you talking about? We're doing all this to help you. And the U.S. is saying, no, you're helping us with these cartels, but not that one that we want, right? That's what you're doing. So thank you for helping us with these guys, but no thank you for obstructing us on this. And now the Trump administration is starting to wisen up. They're starting to get the picture of exactly how corrupt Mexico is. That fragile state that's south of our border, they're starting to get the exact picture.
Brandon, I have 30 seconds, maybe a minute for this answer. Do you believe that there are American politicians, even in our federal government, I'm talking senators, members of the House, who also receive money from the cartels for votes and such?
I think indirectly they do, for sure. Yeah, I think indirectly. I don't think that it's as outright as what happens in Mexico, but do I think that it happens? Yes. I think it's very indirect, though, right? So if there's, say there's a particular border politician and he's really close to the dominant political party in Mexico that is controlled by cartel money, and he's doing favors for them and say that people are giving him bribes, right? And say he gets indicted for those bribes and then says, I didn't take those bribes. I'm not naming anyone in particular who's in Laredo, Texas, named Cuellar, right? Like, but that's what he's accused of, right? That's what he's accused of doing, is taking bribes from Mexico. It's like, well, where did that cash come from, right? Where does the cash come from that he's accused of taking? Where does it come from? So we'll see how things pan out for him. But that seems to be somewhat common, that Mexican politicians, specifically of a particular party, right, that U.S. politicians, particularly of a specific party, have too close of relationships with the cartel-controlled political party in Mexico, and then they get indicted, right? That's why we have a public corruption task force that specifically focuses on the Rio Grande Valley and has called it the most corrupt area of our state, right? Well, where are those dollars coming from? Where do they come from, Jesse? Is it coming from the maquiladores, from the factory workers? No, it's not coming from them, Jesse. Where is it coming from?
That's pretty much what I figured. Brandon, you are the best, brother. Thank you. Come back soon. Now, before we go to next hour, I want you to help out Tunnel to Towers. Now, I take that back. That's not how I want to put that. I want you to help out a family in need. A family that sent dad, sent mom off to work in a uniform, and they didn't come home because they're a cop and they got ambushed, because they're a fireman and there was a collapse. Who helps those families out when first responders don't come home? That's what Tunnel to Towers does. And there are so many scummy organizations out there that pretend like they help, but then you look up their charity rating online, and it's terrible. Go look up Tunnel to Towers. You give, it gets to the families. $11 a month. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.